take the hand of the person who's seated next to you. Together we all take a very deep breath. We close our eyes. We see in the middle of our mind a little golden light. Watch this light as it begins to grow larger and larger, until now it covers the entire vision of our mind. We see for ourselves within this light a beautiful. We see a garden that surrounds the temple and a body of water that fills the garden. We see that the inside of the temple is lit by the same golden light. Here, for we have been drawn together by the power and in the presence of God. We devote this time, tonight, everything that happens here, and our relationship to one another, to Him, and be used for His purposes. We ask that all things all unfold according to His will. We ask that His Spirit so enter into us, guiding our thoughts, our feelings, and all our perceptions, that we might grow to happier, more peaceful, loving human beings. Together, we all say, Amen. The story of Easter is the story of the complete transcendence of the laws of the earth. The Course of Miracles tells us that miracles reverse the laws of time and space. Miracles occur naturally as an expression of love, and that as an expression of love, what occurs is an unfolding in which all negativity, all lack, all fear, all darkness or pain of any kind is transformed into energies of healing and correction. That is the psychic principle of resurrection. Note that when crucifixion, i.e., the energy pattern of that darkness, of that scarcity, of that pain, on any level, is given back to the spirit, which is the ultimate and infinite principle of healing and correction, then no matter what form that crucifixion takes, it might be something individually in terms of addictions or obsessions or compulsions or despair of any kind. It might be something collectively in terms of war, hunger, disease, whatever. In fact, the Course in Miracles makes it very clear that the form of the darkness, the form the crucifixion takes, is irrelevant. What is not irrelevant, however, is that no matter what the form of crucifixion, the answer is the same. No matter what the problem, the answer is the same. The Course in Miracles says you think you have many different problems. Really, you only have one. That is separation from God. All enfoldment or crucifixion is a manifestation of separation from God. God is a thought. To be separate from God means to be separate from the thoughts of love. So everything that occurs is a crucifixion pattern is a reflection of mental separation from the thought of. Now, the Course in Miracles says that there's one answer, the answer with a capital A, the form of the crucifixion is irrelevant. The first line, as a matter of fact, the text of the Course is, there is no order of difficulty in miracles. The effects of love are maximal. There's a line that is a letter in the workbook of the Course in Miracles in the Bible where it says, God Himself wipe away all tears. That means all tears, no matter for whatever reason. In the Course in Miracles, there's a line where it says, there is no loss in time, and time does not exist. So all of the darkness that we experience in our lives and in our planetary experience is something that is a reflection of the deviation of mind from God or the love which is within. Now, since only love is real, the Course tells us, since only love is real, the mind does deviate. When anything is a deviation from that love, it is actually a part of an illusion, because the Course in Miracles says we're not thinking with God, since God is all real. If you're not thinking with God, you're not actually thinking at all. You're hallucinating. And that's what the Course says that this world is. It's like a mass hallucination. The crucifixion, even of Jesus on the cross, was a hallucination. He says to us in the Course, he says, prove that the crucifixion did not occur. And that is what the resurrection shows. It shows, in essence, in its sort of ultimate theological context, that you can destroy the body, but you cannot destroy the Son of God. That is because the Son of God is an essential reality. You and I exist, the Course says, as ideas in the mind of God. Our bodies are just clothes that we're wearing, like a suit of clothes. And out of clothes, it's a temporal reality, dust. The Course says birth is not a beginning, it's a continuation of life. And death is not an end, it's a continuation of life. This whole world of the physical, of the human storyline is a dream that we're having. And what the crucifixion of Jesus represents is a nightmare, a dream that is taken to its deadliest and darkest. Resurrection is what happens when the human mind awakens from its sleep. And you and I are lost in what is an esoteric metaphysical called the sleep of a racial consciousness against materialism. And by that I mean that you and I see ourselves as beings of the material plane. But we're not beings of the material plane. We're beings of spirit. This is not our home, the Course in Miracles says. Of course, we all feel like aliens here. And the reason, on some level, we all feel like aliens here, we are. There's a story, a book I read by a friend, sort of about the Course in Miracles, where he says, it's called The Chicken and the Eagle. And in the story of The Chicken and the Eagle, the eagle, the baby eagle, gets lost and is raised. And because chickens don't know anything about eagles, the chicken raised this baby eagle to be a chicken, fly like a chicken. So then when the eagle grows up, the eagle never learned to fly. And some eagles say to him, well, why aren't you flying? And the reason the eagle was flying was because no one told him he could. No one told him that he had wings. No one told him it's your natural right, it's your entitlement, it's who you are to fly. And since no one had told him, he said, oh, well, I guess I'm just a chicken. I'm supposed to just walk around a chicken. So what most of us, as we are asleep, and we are asleep because of the gate, you know, it's like as soon as we're born, we're given a sleeping pill. You know, from the moment we get here, it's like we're taught we're not who we are. We're taught that we are who we're not. The Course in Miracles says, that's your robot. You forgot who you are. So we don't think we can transcend death. We don't think that we can transcend illness. We don't think we can, with a burst of God's love and chemical action within us, rise above any dark manifestation. Now, that doesn't take away our power. The fact we forgot that we have this power does not take it away from us. As a matter of fact, the Course says it's held in trust until we realize the truth about ourselves. Although it does not take away the truth about us, what it does is it keeps us from actualizing that truth. So this period, on the third day, he rose. Now, what that means, there is no form of crucifixion that does not ultimately give rise to resurrection. Why? It is the will of God. There has never been a storm on this earth that has not passed. There's never been a Hitler that ultimately won the war. There's never been a disease. Take something like the bubonic plague. Even the bubonic was never a cure. It died out. Ultimately, ways of correction, the ways of healing, if even nothing, will always come back around. The point is, how long are the 3 days? On the third day, he rose. Well, 3 days to be 3,000 years, it can be that. If you want the 3 days to be many incarnations, do that. But the message of the Course is, you can do that. And what that means is that we can permit ourselves, we have the audacity, we can have to say, yeah, why not me? Why not? And everyone said, how dare you? And the ego mind of other people and in yourself will say, that's arrogant. That's arrogant of you to own. The power of resurrection is simply a psychological principle to which all the children of God are entitled. It's our wings. It's our birthright. We were born to be children of crucifixion. We were born to be children of resurrection. And of course, what the ego mind has done, what Miracles tells us, but we knew this before we read this book, it's a whole religion that makes us focus on the crucifixion rather than resurrection. But the story of Easter is not about our suffering. You mean you live your life. You don't need to read about it first. Right? That, and you see, by the way, Christianity is not the only context that really delves into crucifixion. There are a lot of contexts these days. So hiding behind people, disguising themselves as a new kind of mental health that glorifies the crucifixion even further. It's just the temptation of the ego to stay stuck in crucifixion, in the dysfunctions, as it were, you're playing. Of course you've had dysfunctional relationships. Of course you've had dysfunctional families. This world is a dysfunction. That's what the world is. It's a place which is dominated fear rather than love. But the message of the Course is that it doesn't matter the form. Whenever you see dysfunction, go down and put crucifixion. I have been crucified. Of course you have, and you have given some out probably too. Unless you're like master, right? I mean, we all, you know, next time you think I've been in abusive relationships, ask yourself which one the abuser in. Because everybody's going around saying I've been abused, meaning they abused me, which leaves nobody left who has an abuser. Right? So the notion is to know we all conspire in this. We all conspire in this to attack, to invalidate, to attack the innocent child of God in us. Easter is not about the crucifixion. Easter is about the resurrection. Easter is about what happens when a miracle occurs. And that miracle is a shift in our thinking. The Course in Miracles says, from fear to love. And the thoughts of fear are the thoughts that we're powerless. The thoughts that there's nothing we can do. Now here, there's a semantic difference here with AA. It's the same message, but we're talking about a different use of word moment. Because when we're talking about powerless, when they talk about powerless, that's the same thing the Course in Miracles says, that when you see of yourself, you are powerless. Of yourself, you can do nothing. Of yourself, the message of the crucifixion is the same thing as in the 12-step program. Your best thinking got you here. Your best thinking got you here. You want to be depressed? Your best thinking got you here. And that is that the thinking of this earth plane is so askew. If so, as the Course says, 180 degrees away from the thinking of God. And what the question of Jesus is, the Course tells us, is a teaching example. You take, like, what could be the darkest symbol you could come up with? Talk about the torture and then the murder of an innocent man who had a body. In fact, it helped a lot of people. I mean, it's like that's just the extreme example. And yet, he chose, the Course in Miracles says, Jesus chose that example to prove that when the mind is held, to its eaglehood rather than its should, when the mind is held to a knowledge of the power of love which is within us, there's just nothing on the plane which can touch you. You are heir to the laws of this earth plane to the extent that you identify with it. If that's what you declare as your reality, that will be your reality. If you, in your own mind, and it's not enough to do verbally, but if in your own mind you declare, but none of that has an effect on me, because the grace of God which is within me, I rise through the alchemical action of the Holy Spirit. I am lifted, I am delivered, I am saved. See, these are really great words. I am saved from negative thinking. I am delivered from hell. You know, hell isn't something that happens after you die. It's a hotel everybody in this room has been to. That's what hell is. Hell is, of course, a miracle says, what the ego mind makes a effect. To be delivered from hell to heaven is to be delivered from this small concept to a place of grandeur. You know, Rich and I were talking today, and we were talking about how we find ourselves and we find each other tempted sometimes to just bemoan crucifixion in our lives, and how we have learned to experience how powerful it is to just get off it, you know, to just get off it. And to see, it seems in some cases in my life, if people say to you, how are you doing? Right? You've got to have some people in your life. You do. You've got to have a friend. You know, you've got to have one, two, three people in your life to whom you can tell the real truth is awful. I feel awful. Right? But if you get into telling everyone that, you will definitely feel awful. Right? And the interesting thing is, you know, it's like you fake it, you make it. But the interesting thing is, the part that feels awful is the fake. The part of you that feels awful is not your real self. The part of you that feels awful is real. And so what feels to us like an act, the only reason it feels like an act is because it's who we really are. It's like, well, I know it's healing. I know it got away. Right? That's your real self talking. That's your real self talking. It just feels unnatural to you to own that and say, well, a miracle is happening. It was so amazing to see this and to see in my life how often, because you think you're going to feel better. You think if you tell them that it is, you'll feel better, depending on who they are, maybe not. Right? Now, if it's a real close friend who really knows you or a professional who's going to sort of help you transform that energy into positive, then yes, and we all need that, that place where we get to transform. But sometimes we think talking it will by definition get rid of it, and it won't by definition get rid of it, because it has to do with working it. Because if you're putting it out into the universe where people are going to conspire with you on some way, on some level, in the perception of your own inability to get beyond it, you're not going to resurrect that. I'm saying to Rich, just think, Rich, with steady, you know, metaphysics and esoteric circles for all these years, and the answer to all of our problems really was what my parents said to me the time I was 5, stop whining. Stop whining. Stop whining. It really is this major message of Easter. Stop whining. and own it. Right? And so the whole notion of resurrection, of Jesus' transcendence of death itself, is that the laws of death are not the law of God. Because if the birth is just the continuation of life and not the beginning, and if death is the continuation of life and not an end, that means that there is no death. That's what the Course in Miracles tells us. There is no death. We just think people die. Because, once again, we're taught the physical universe is reality. What I see with my eyes is reality. What I hear with my ears is reality. If your body moving, you're alive. If I don't see your body anymore, you're no longer alive. That's what we think. And because it's what we think and because it's what we're taught, we're unhappy and our emotions follow that thought. I don't remember who it was talking about how they were explaining to a child that there's Santa Claus and they were going to break it to him that there is no Santa Claus. How liberal. The radical truth is not to tell a child that there is no Santa Claus. The radical truth is to say there's a Santa Claus. They'll try to tell you there's not a Santa Claus. Don't listen to that crap. I remember my father used to say it to me all the time. He used to come home. Teacher in school today, we'd tell him, he'd say, you butter. Because there were so many things. There were so many things that we would be taught. That we would be taught and that all of us just planted about this world. It is just the way we're taught that it is. And that's the sadness of this world, this mass sleep that we're in. Remember Ionesco's play, Rhinoceros? Many of us had to read when we were kids in school. And he was actually talking about the Nazis in Germany. You know, this whole notion of one person buys it, so the other person buys it, so the other person buys it, so the other person buys it. The hero within us, the Christ which is within us. By definition, I see it another way. I choose to see it another way. And that's what Jesus did. We've said here many times, if Jesus at the cross just went with the perceptions of the world, you know, because he says in the Course, he says, the way you see things, I would be betrayed and finally murdered. But I didn't choose to see it that way. Right? What if he had to see it that way? He would have been up on the cross screaming, hey, you! And I say, you know, then there would be no Easter. It would have been a completely different thing. Right? Because he would have just stayed with the race consciousness. He would have stayed with race consciousness and that would have been it. There would have been no saving grace. But he chose. He made a decision. You know this book in The Course in Miracles, which is so 20th century. It's very interesting because psychologically it has taken 2,000 years to reach a century where enough people are open to the word. I mean, all of philosophy, not just philosophy, but all of philosophy and psychology has prepared us to be a people able to understand the significance of the word choice. Existential choice, a choice that you make. You know, we've said here before, when Jesus said, we talked about this last week, when the Jews said, save us, save us, save us, they meant save us from the power of the Romans. Save us from the power of Romans, they were an enslaved people. And Jesus said, I got it, I'm the king, I tell you what to do to handle the Romans who were enslaving them. The Jews were all excited because the Jews had seen him heal the sick and the Jews had seen him dead. They knew he could do amazing things. They said, great, tell us what to do. And Jesus said, love them. What? He said, love them. And you know, this wasn't, there was no psychology in these days. You know, there was no one saying, well, you know, you have to totally create your reality. So people could not, people just did not get it. People don't get it today, by the way. Today, to say, you know, I've said it many times, what candidate who wanted to be elected president of the United States, they thought, I don't think we'll deal with them. I think we should love them. We get elected in this Christian nation. Right? Right? So it's still radical. It's radical, but it is radical in a way that even though we don't all bite, we're capable of understanding it. The ground is prepared. The ground has been prepared for us now to see, you know, you make a choice inside your mind. The Course says our perception determines reality. He says, you think you see a reality, and then you say, well, that's just the way it is. It's quite the opposite. We choose what we're going to see, and then we see it. Santa Claus, you say, well, there is no Santa Claus, darling. There is no Santa Claus because, you know, there's really no little old man coming up. You know, I remember asking my mother, is there Santa Claus? And I knew it as soon as I asked her, I was sorry. I knew something in me that you want to ask. I had already asked it. And my mother said, no. And the first time in my conscious memory, I looked at my mother and said, you are a bitch. I knew it. I knew I had sold childhood down the river. I was like 6 years old. You did it to yourself. Right? This little kid, I knew it. What am I letting them do to me? Right? When there is a spirit of Santa Claus, there is. Santa Claus is a child's vision of Christ. All that it is. Somebody's been watching you, knows when you've been good, and you will get the gift of the Spirit. That's all it is. It comes through your crown chakra. You will feel it in the morning. Yeah. Isn't that true? No, darling, it doesn't exist. Right? So we have, but now, so now what we create, well, you know, our parents taught us a certain way. That's right now. Right? And the message of the course is always, well, in this instant, you can choose to see it differently. Once again, that business about existential choice, no one makes you see anything any differently you want to see it. I don't care if you're in a dungeon. Nobody can make you believe what you don't want to believe. And nobody can make you choose not to believe what you choose to believe. I mean, God, look at what's happening in Eastern Europe. Look what's happening in Russia. I mean, it is so amazing to see how all the material might in the world is not enough to ultimately triumph over an idea that has become an ignited spark within people. That's just the way it is. Now, what we said before was that will ultimately occur, that the good will triumph over it. It will ultimately occur. What you and I have to trust in, and that's why tonight is so important, how long it takes. Now, there is going on, this is called a celestial speed-up, the Course in Miracles says. Time is getting faster. And what it means to say time is getting faster is that the Course in Miracles says time itself is merely a reflection of our faith or lack of it. You know, it's the thing they say, medical science now says we'll be a cure for AIDS in 5 years. Great. Medical sciences will be a cure for AIDS in 5 years. So you want to walk around, once again, so liberal. There's a cure in 5 years. There's a cure in 5 years. Well, maybe medical science has a cure in 5 years. But tonight. That's the message of evolution. That there is a principle that is not in time. There is no time. So if you're going to say there's a cure for AIDS in 5 years, that means it has already happened. Because the past, Einstein says, is just a thought we're having. And the future is just a thought we're having. Now, 5 years is pretty good. 5 years is doing pretty good, but not doing nearly as good as we can do. It reflects a faith, but it's still a faith in our small self of this earth. The difference in 5 years is saying, given all the power we muster as earth plane beings, that's as good as we can do. Now, you have a choice. You can go bigger than that, or we can recognize that of ourselves we're nothing, and we can own and permit ourselves the expanded concept through human choice, psychological choice, to agree. And the Course in Miracles says that when enough people become miracle-minded, or like when Buckminster Fuller says, the critical mass, when enough people agree that it happened tonight, the world shall be healed. And that's not just the Course in Miracles says that. That's, you know, I remember when Earhart was radical. Remember how he used to talk about hunger all the time? What we need from you is to agree that hunger is over. It can be over now. And he has always been very onto that stuff. Right? This is what do you think is possible? Because whatever you think is possible is what will be possible for you. And if you don't think something is possible, then it won't be. Haven't you ever been like a surprise in conversations with people who go on and on about a problem, and then you give a suggestion, but they don't want to spend much time on your suggestion of a solution, right? Either or you suggest something, oh, I tried that. Now let me tell you. You know, and it's like these red lights. You know, when the red lights go, they are not interested in a solution. They are extremely in love with the problem. Right? And those are people around whom you just get quiet, turn on television, fire off. Say, well, I'm sure it'll all be fine. They're not in an adult conversation about it. And that's fine. That's fine. But if they're, but what you're seeing, they're demonstrating, if they're not open to it, they're not going to get it, they're not going to see it. Investment in not seeing it. And that's why all the stuff about Easter and the religious symbol about it, all this stuff, that's what everybody, I mean, it's great art sometimes, but terrible theology. Because, you know, I was talking today about how the crucifixion of Jesus, it was in the LA Times in the art section, it was talking about how the crucifixion of Jesus is the most oft-painted image, visual image in Western art. That's what people have most often painted. So what that meant, and you know, in the olden days, with art, it's so amazing because that was before the movies, before stereo. So those were the icons, those were the images that really went into people's minds, right? That's why something like the birth of Jesus being held by Mary is so important. There are many images of religious art that were fabulous because they shot right into people's minds. But the idea of a crucifixion, we get what we focus on. So it's become a whole racial consciousness. Just the birth of Jesus, if anything, more focused than ever on suffering. The whole notion was he was the Messiah. There's this dear, dear man who leads the choir. We have like Christmas or Easter, wonderful song, you know, Hallelujah, Ark, and Now It's Light. These beautiful like this. Turn to him and say, who the world is this?
Yeah.
Now, black people don't do that. Isn't that interesting? The black are, they got it. Sometimes people say to me, they know, actually, but it's true. I've told you this, Black Church, and I would go there and I would hear the music. So amazing. I was also set the songs about into the music. And this was like bliss out. And I said, music's over. And they file in there, the elders of the church. And he goes, what are you looking at all week? Forget it. They've been fornicating. You've been. This is unbelievable. And then all these people that have been so happy. But you know what the Course in Miracles would say about that is it would be funny if it were not so sad. That's major oppression. That is like very sad. Because that man had made those people believe that God did not love them when 5 minutes before they had known better. Right? For whatever reason, the Course in Miracles talks about the ego's religion. And what the message of Easter is about joy, the Course in Miracles says. He says in the Course in Miracles the same thing he says in the Bible where he says, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Martin Luther King used that image a lot, to overcome. To overcome means, as the Course in Miracles says, to use the wings of an eagle. He says in the Course, who would fly with the wings of a sparrow once you have experienced the wings of an eagle? And that means that you have changed your mind about the world. He says in the Course, don't seek to change the world. Seek to change your mind about the world. And to seek to change your mind about the world means to know that all it is a reflection of our own choices of what we think the world is and what we think our relationship to the world is. The Course in Miracles says the only problem you have is you have forgotten who you are. And what we are asked to do, no less than Jesus, is to demonstrate while living on this earth that no matter what the form of the crucifixion, no matter what the problem in your life or anyone else's or the entire world, that we know that all it is a manifestation of the mind when turned away from God, and the mind turned away from God has absolutely no power in front of the power of God. That will ultimately be shown. As we said before, there's never been a storm that hasn't passed. But we can, through owning that power, as Jesus did, becoming, asking him, if he's a comfortable image for us, to enter into our minds, to make our minds one with him. We're taught in the Course of what Jesus did, and we're not taught that he's the only face that Christ takes. We're taught he is a face that Christ takes. But what happened, because his mind was completely healed by the Holy Spirit, no matter what happened, he was not tempted to believe in the power of darkness. He said, it's not of the Father, it doesn't exist. A leper comes up to Jesus, and Jesus looks at the leper. But leprosy was not created by God, because God is love. Leprosy, an illness, it's a manifestation of the illusion. Jesus didn't see the leper. Jesus didn't see the leprosy in the leper. He just saw the Son of God beyond the leprosy. He did not believe in the leprosy. And the power of his conviction was so total that in his presence, the leper didn't believe in the leprosy either. And in that moment, he was healed. And that's what miracles are. Miracles occur as a change in physical manifestation brought about through the power of a human mind convinced that this is silly. Convinced that this is silly. And that's what it means to say Jesus' mind was healed. I would say Jesus had individual therapy. We're in group therapy. That's what the second coming is, in a way. It's like all of us getting it through our transactions with one another. And Jesus says in the Course, he says, I'm not an ego-oriented teacher. An ego-oriented teacher really never wants you to know as much as he knows, because then he's lost his niche. He says, I look forward to the day when you know as much as I do. I look forward to the day when you manifest power as quickly as I do. Until that day that you can, he says, ask me what to do. Until that day, ask me what to do. He says, my mind joined with your mind can shine away the ego. And so what we do when confronted with the crucifixions in the world is we say, of ourselves, we cannot do anything. But there is a power. Once again, this is the beginning of the 12 steps. Same thing. Of myself, I can't. But there is a power in me which can cast out any form of crucifixion, no matter what. No matter what. And that is what we celebrate. That's why we sing hallelujah about this. That's when you come to understand the meaning of the words, praise the Lord. To praise that power to get, yeah, there is this power in the universe, and for us to own it is not arrogant, it's humble. We're not taking personal credit for it. We didn't create that power. The Course in Miracles says to think that you don't have the power to allow God's power to work through you, and that is the power of your own decision, that is arrogant, of course, because that would imply you're something less than God created you to be. And so Easter is about the Son of God rising from the past. And all the problems that you and I have, individually and collectively, are the product of dead thoughts. We are no longer dead. The stone is being pushed away. The dead body is now being laid aside, and a life body is rising. That's not just within someone else 2,000 years ago. That's within you and me, should we choose. And it's about the entire racial consciousness, should we choose. And if we do choose tonight, then the vibration by which all this is happening happens quicker. It's happening in the world. I mean, really. You know, I mean, when you look at the news, turn on the news, it's incredible what's happening in this earth. Isn't it true? There's so much to be hopeful about. Things are happening. I mean, the way that the 80s ended, who would have ever thought? With the Berlin Wall coming down, everything that's happening in Russia, so much is happening in so many places. The only problem is too many spiritual people don't read the news. So-called spiritual people. Because all these people who like joined at the harmonic convergence to say, oh, it's going to get better, it's going to get better, it's going to get better, it's going to get better. And then you talk to them and say, can you believe how good it is in Romania? They go, what happened? It would be nice if we sort of got the data. Back up our own conviction, you know? It is happening. And all we're talking about here is making it happen faster. That's all we're talking about at Easter, is to be of good cheer. The world has been overcome. There's no more processing you need to go through. Right? It really isn't. It's just deciding now. I mean, you can do it now. You can do it later. And that's what it's like go for the whole enchilada, you know? Go for the whole power. Because if Jesus overcame death itself, then the whole point here is if he could overcome death itself, then we can overcome the little mini crucifixions we go through in our lives. And that's the meaning. Of Course in Miracles says you will eradicate sickness and you will eradicate death because you made both of them. You don't have to believe in any of them anymore. You don't have to believe in death. They did not die. They are no longer existing in physical incarnation, but that does not mean they died. And you have so much available to you beyond your physical senses. Your physical senses are 10% of your brain cells, so that's not where you'll be communicating with them anymore. That doesn't mean you can't communicate with them, doesn't mean you can't talk to them, doesn't mean you can't hear back from them. Same with sickness, same with any other manifestation. There's another way of seeing this, and that is to know if it is not of the Father's will, I'm only thinking it's true. But I'm willing to see as God sees. I'm willing to think as God thinks. I'm willing to have the Holy Spirit come into my mind, and through that divine alchemy of gracious action within us, we become different. We're not the same men we used to be. We're not the same women we used to be. We have let go the dead body of the past. We have stopped whining. We have owned a magnificence in ourselves and a power in ourselves humbly that we had not owned before. We do this in order to rise above the manifestations of our own despair, and we know as we do this, we bring closer into manifestation the healing of the entire world. So I'd like to conclude with a prayer. And in this prayer, I want us all to imagine ourselves already there. What would this Christed being, this actualized being within you, who does not whine, who is not petty, who is not small-minded, who owns the power of all good to come through you, to give ourselves the opportunity in this prayer to imagine that being. Because it is what we imagine in ourselves and in others that we bring forth. Please join with me. We see in the middle of our mind a little ball of golden light. We watch this light as it begins to grow larger and larger, until now it covers the entire inner vision of our mind. We see for ourselves within this light a beautiful temple. And into this space we invite the power of the resurrected one, the Christed one, one who has mastered. To some of us, he appears as Jesus. And now we recognize the dead which is within us, the hopeless, the desperate, the part of us who thinks we're bound by what happened in the past, the part of us which thinks we are victims of something that we can't escape, the part of us that believes that there is any heartbreak which cannot be healed within us, the part of us which is unforgiving of ourselves or others, the part of us which is not the most gracious, loving personality, the part of us that feels inadequate and weak, the part of us which, for whatever reason, is without hope. And now, all of those thoughts and attitudes of death now fall down around us like a suit of clothes we no longer wish to wear. It is unzipped, it is let go. And as this body of darkness is relinquished, we step up and out a new body of light. We now arise, beginning, born once more in this moment, and we feel what it feels like to no longer whine, to no longer complain, to no longer play small. What does it feel like to know we are magnificent? What does it feel like to know it is humble and permissible to know this about ourselves, because it is the glory of God which shines through us? What does it feel like to know that we do that which we love to do and experience a win from it, because that is the will of God? What does it feel like to know that our own beingness is a shining light and a ripple of hope in our own community and world and relationships? What does it feel like in this moment to receive God's crown? What does it feel like in this moment to feel the dove of God's peace flying above us? What does it feel like to know that we have let go all that is dark and small within us? What does it feel like to know we are the sons of God, in whom God Himself is very well pleased? For the perfect which is within us, the potential which is within us, is now given room to breathe, a garden in which to grow, a house in which to live, a chamber in which to be. We make this choice for ourselves and for the entire world. Let the dead bury the dead thoughts of the past. Let there be new life. Let suffering be gone. Let sickness be gone. Let death be gone. For one among us has overcome. We now choose for ourselves conscious access to the power He has brought down into the vibrations of planet Earth. We choose to be in His army of light. We choose to be one with His power, in humility and with gratitude and with only a desire of peace for ourselves and one another. And so we begin again. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you very much. Together, we all say, amen. Thank you very much, Pastor. We see in the middle of our mind a little ball of golden light. And now we watch this light as it begins to grow larger and larger, until now it covers the entire inner vision of our mind. We see for ourselves within this light a beautiful temple. We see a garden that surrounds the temple and the body of water that flows through the garden. we see that the inside of the temple is lit by this same beautiful golden light. And we're here, for we have been drawn together by the power and in the presence of God. We devote our time spent together and all of our relationships to one another to Him. We ask that His Holy Spirit, which is within us, so guide our thoughts, our feelings, all of our perceptions, that we might grow to become happier and more peaceful and more loving human beings. Thank you very much. Together, we all say, Amen. In A Course in Miracles, we're taught a way of seeing people such that all of us are seen to have an infinite capacity to perform, to show up brilliantly in the world. And what has occurred to me is the difference between saying that people have an infinite capacity and saying that they have an infinite potential. Because what I've learned for myself, and I think many of us have learned, is that potential can be a dangerous concept. Potential can keep you stuck. You can use the concept, the ego can use the concept of potential to really keep you living always in the future rather than in the present, because there's a very real way in which you can never live up to your potential. You never can get there unless you're an enlightened master. That's what an enlightened master is someone who's actualized the cosmic potential. But for any of us that aren't enlightened masters, we can never get there. So concentration on potential always has this, it's like something running at you from behind, except it's running at you from in front of you. And you can never catch up. That's the paralysis, actually, of many supposedly spoiled children who were told by parents who loved them and adored them and showered them with all kinds of gifts. They were told that you have so much potential. And I know for myself, I spent years not doing anything because I had so much potential, after all, that I couldn't figure out what to do. Right, I couldn't figure out what to do. I was afraid, well, do you take this path or that path or that path? And I knew there were a lot of people just like that, so we did nothing. Because you're afraid to try anything, because after all, if you're not great at it, then you won't be living up to your potential. I mean, you even see this in the fact that our generation doesn't have hobbies. Like, people used to have hobbies. We have difficulty having hobbies. And the reason we have difficulty having hobbies is because we have a real difficult time doing something we're not great at. It makes us feel like a failure. Right? We have this concept that we have to be the best at something. We have to show up great. I remember how freeing it was for me to read an interview many years ago with Joan Baez. And Joan Baez was talking about how Bob Dylan's early songs were not so great. And that was so wonderful to know. Because we have this image of genius just springing forth, fully grown from Zeus's forehead. And so we think of genius either in terms of something other people have, because they were just born with it, or something that we have, but it's our potential. Right? And we never, it's so interesting when you know people, I know a lot of people, I'm sure you do too. And I know some people who are very successful in their lives and they allow a lot of abundance on all kinds of levels and they allow happiness based on those things. And then I know a lot of people who don't, who are constantly facing limitations in this area or that area. But what I've seen, as I'm sure you've seen also, is that I rarely see any difference in potential between the people I know who allow their lives to happen and the people I know who don't allow their lives to happen. The only difference is that not in terms of people owning their potential, but owning what they're capable of now. But that's what some people do and some people don't. And people who are too concerned with their potential are concerned what's going to happen later. And there's something, the magic happens, the miracle happens, the Course in Miracles says. Miracles never happen in the past, and miracles don't happen in your future. Miracles can only happen in the present. And the Course in Miracles says heaven is now, because now is the only time. And heaven is here, because here is the only place. So the light that we're so afraid of, remember the Course in Miracles says we're not afraid of dark. We're afraid of light. Darkness we know, limitation we know, pain we know. These are our habits. We've lived with them. We've learned to make do with them. But the light scares us. The light is what, because the light would overwhelm the ego. If we really allow ourselves to see that we're okay the way we are now, see the ego, that's why the potential can be used by the ego. Because what's our potential? Think of, well, we have so much potential. It's really the way that the ego keeps in place the notion, but you're not good enough yet, dear. You're not good enough now. And the difference between the people, like I said, who allow themselves to, you know, you can't get to point B. You can't get to another place without taking a step. It's like business when I couldn't move anywhere. And I remember my first therapist said to me, you have a problem. She said, you have a problem
figuring out how to get from point A to points X, Y, and Z. Because you can't conceive of walking from A to B. Because B is not good enough. You think you should be X, Y, Z. So I didn't have a concept of putting one foot in front of another. And that's because, of course, that's not good enough. I won't be good enough at what I do. Somebody once said to me, I asked somebody to lecture for me when I was going out of town. And somebody went into all this stuff about they didn't know if they could lecture like I lecture or something like that. And I pointed out to them I had been giving lectures on A Course in Miracles for 6 years. And that's the only difference. I said, well, how are you going to ever give the lectures that you want to give unless you start somewhere? And we're a generation that has difficulty starting somewhere. We have difficulty giving ourselves permission. And permission is exactly what it's about. Your potential does not give you permission. Your potential is a cruelty. It almost laughs at you. And that's what mistakes a lot of parents make with their children, once again, constantly reminding their children of how much potential they have. But it's very difficult for potential to be a friendly concept unless what we are now is friendly enough. So the greatest gift that we can give to people is to know that what we have to give right now is enough. Several years ago, I took piano lessons, and I had played a lot of piano when I was a child. So when I started taking piano lessons, again, after several years, it was clear that I'm not Chopin. But the therapeutic value of playing was immense to me. And one of the things I realized from that was that there's being a virtuoso at the piano, and then there's being a virtuoso at life. And that's what we're after. As children of God, it's not such a big deal if you're virtuoso at the piano, you're virtuoso at the saxophone, you're virtuoso at any particular thing. To be a virtuoso at life means that you sing out. It doesn't necessarily mean that you sing well. It's not about singing well, it's about singing out. Why is it that sometimes we can't? And that's all that the Course in Miracles is about. What is it that stops us? We all know that. We're not only, hey, listen, it's not even just other people we know. We all have some of that. In whatever area where we don't say it, we don't do it. And you know the problem that you get into is that, have you ever noticed certain areas of your life, like I know people who, I don't know, I guess I've done it myself in certain areas. This is something I think you see more clearly in other people, but I'm sure we all do it to some extent. You don't know how to stand up for your rights in some area, and you don't know how to just speak your truth. So when you finally do, you overstep. You go too far. And all that's because we're not comfortable with just being. Sometimes I feel like we're like racehorses that are, you know, behind the gate. And we want so much to get out. We're just like chomping at the bit. It's because we all know, you know, we all have felt on some level like we were born to do great things. Everybody here has had some moment where we have had the audacity to believe that we were born to do great things. And that is because we were. It is a memory, it is an injunction implanted into our cellular memory by God himself. The reason we think, God, I could have sworn I was born to do great things is because we were. And we can feel that the life lived small is a betrayal of ourselves. The person holding the gate closed, racehorse wanting to get out, what's holding the gate closed, as we've discussed here so many times, is nothing outside of us, not for most of us. Most of us, if you've grown enough in the area of personal transformation and stuff, you get pretty clearly that the bondage which holds us back in life is not so much the things outside of us, but the things inside of us. That we're really clear when you look, well, who's holding that door closed and not allowing this energy, this pent-up energy to fly? The person holding the door closed is us. Our own fear. We're afraid to open the door and let it roar. And that fear, of course, is the great betrayer of self. And the only way out of any fear is through a miracle. And a miracle is a shift in perception from fear to love. And love, in this case, has to do with giving up the fear that takes the form of the beating up on ourselves, either for what did or didn't happen in the past, or what we think should or should not happen in the future. The person who allows themselves to live their potential. Remember, time does not exist. Time is just a thought that we have. The Course in Miracles says miracles collapse time. So when you realize that anything you might be in the future is happening in your mind in this moment, to really live your potential is the same thing as fully living your present. Because if you don't live fully in the present, you're not taking step A, how are you ever going to get to the next, to the steps down the road? So living fully in the present is the way, is the only way to create a context in which everything that we can be later can come into being. And the only thing that what we're really living our potential is about anyway is not about more, but about a greater depth of being within what is. Because what we are is already there. We're already there. It's simply a matter of owning, copping to what we know, giving ourselves permission to shine. Just giving ourselves permission to shine is no small deal. Like we were saying before, what we're afraid of is the light. We're not afraid of the dark. We're terrified by the notion of being beautiful. We're terrified in many cases of the notion of being healthy. We're terrified of the notion of being successful. We're terrified of the notion of having the happiest life possible. And that's because we're terrified of the love which is within us. We're terrified of God. Because God is a fearless state. We are afraid of fearlessness. And that is because that's the death of the ego. It's a complete relinquishment of the thought system that dominates the world, which defines us, and then it defines our current state of existence, which is our suffering, which is our misery. It's a very courageous act to say, I give that up. And that's what Jesus was talking about when he said, those who lose their lives shall find their lives. That's what we were talking about last week, this business of how solitary, in a way, the walk to God is. Because, the demons that we have to fight with, as we were saying before, are our own personal demons. And the demons always have name tags on them. And they're always about the past or the future. Because even if it's something happening in the present, it's something either that reminds us of the past or scares us about what will happen in the future. Right? Like you're afraid to really tell your truth to a person in a relationship because you're afraid they might not love you if you do. So it keeps you from living authentically. Keeps you from living fully in the present. You can't live fully in the present if you're afraid of how you'll look, or therefore what effect that would have in the future. That kills spontaneity. It kills authenticity. And the only way we can ever become our potential is if we are willing to live that fully which we are right now. So giving up these neuroses, in the Bible it says that in the enlightened world, in the end days, time shall be no more. What it means to say that time shall be no more is that we shall exist fully in the present without neurosing about the past and without neurosing about the future. Jesus says, be ye as little children. Be ye as little children. This is in Zen Buddhism, they talk about an empty rice bowl. An empty rice bowl, because if your rice bowl is already full, the universe can't put more into it. But if your rice bowl is empty, you can receive. Little children can receive. And the fact that we're not allowing ourselves to be cosmic little children is why really we're not growing up. We're not growing up into the cosmic adults that we need to be. The Course in Miracles talks about the difference between grandeur and grandiosity. And grandeur is just the natural state of being. And we just accept ourselves. We're not trying to impress anybody. We're not trying to pretend that we have something special. We're not trying to pretend that, we're anything at all. We're just giving ourselves permission to be, knowing that that's our gift to the world. What you have to say is no more important than what anybody else has to say, but what you have to say is no less important than what anybody else has to say. And the worst thing that can happen in the world is when people stop saying what they have to say. And when we stop saying what we have to say, we start saying what other people have to say, and then we're all dead. Because nobody's being truthful. Nobody's being honest. I mean, what do we have to give to the world except our own gift? In the I Ching, it talks about how we shouldn't feel embarrassed to give our modest gifts to God. We are who we are. But see what a radical fly in the face that is to thinking we should be better, our potential, all the things we can be. Living fully on this day, there's absolutely nothing wrong with humility. There's nothing wrong with standing forth in the world and saying, this is who I am, and this is what I have. There's a lot of stuff these days. You can go to seminars and all people telling you got something special and you can do it and this is how you do it. From A Course in Miracles perspective, it doesn't help anybody. That's not how you're going to run out that door and, release your energy to get past that gate. getting past that gate, the Course in Miracles says that love does not triumph over anything. Love, liberation is not a bursting out. Love is a gentle melting in. The state of heaven, the state of releasing ourselves to be, the state of releasing our energy, is one in which we do two things. We forgive the past and we forgive the future. Now, heaven is a state of awareness of love. And as far as our past is concerned, the Course in Miracles says that love is all that's real. And that when we surrender our past to the Holy Spirit, what we do in surrendering anything is we're surrendering our thoughts about whatever it is. And the Course in Miracles says that all the love that you ever gave in the past is real. And all the love that we received in the past is real. And nothing else exists. That's it. And when we surrender to the Holy Spirit, there's a line in the Course which is so beautiful. He says, all your past except its beauty is gone, and nothing remains except the blessing. Now this is the thing. Your past only exists in your mind. How can it possibly help you to hold about your past anything but the beauty? It's wonderful. Somebody asked Krishnamurti, can you learn from your experience? And he said, of course not. Nothing in the past can teach you what's available now. Because every moment, the Course in Miracles and all these philosophies say, we have an opportunity to begin again. The greatest thing you can do, you know, my daughter, so amazing to watch little children, to see all the ways in which a lack of safety has not yet occurred to them. It's the most amazing thing to watch. They haven't learned yet there's danger behind that corner. Because in their life experience so far, there's no such thing. So the boldness with which they live. I go in and I watch her when she's asleep sometimes. The undefended nature of her body positions while she sleeps. Right? That you could only have if it has not occurred to you that anyone could hurt you. Well, that invites more of the same. That's what the Course in Miracles says. It's when we give up our defenses. It's when we give up our defenses that we have the capacity to burst out and to be. Forgiving the future is really sort of the same thing. The Course in Miracles, the line about the past that I love is in the workbook where it says, the past is over, it can touch me not. And about the future, it says, I place the future in the hands of God. If we want to live our potential, forget the future. If you really want to live your potential, forget the idea of your potential. Instead, remember the capacity that we have to be honest. The capacity we have, like I said, the virtuosity is not that we do something so well, but that we do it authentically, that we do it honestly, that we do it with humility. And as we live life that way, we blossom. We don't have to be in full blossom yet. We're on our way. And that's the only way that we ever get to the point where we can feel mastery in anything. Mastery in anything having to do with the fact that sometimes we can admit to ourselves and to others we have blossomed, and that's okay too. Any other orientation to life is one in which we're trying to impose brilliance, or we're trying to impose power. We're trying to impose a grandiose vision of what we're imitating, of what we're trying to be, of what we think it's like to be a powerful person. But a real powerful person, the base of our power is in a profound self-acceptance. Not anything that we're trying to lay on the world, but just the fact that we accept ourselves as we are. And in accepting God, the acceptance of God is the ultimate acceptance of ourselves once we recognize that God is ourself. It's all the same thing. But it's very difficult to accept ourselves without accepting God. Not that you can't do it, but the notion of accepting God is accepting the notion of a transcendent power and love which is in us but not of us. It just happens to be there. And so then your humility translates into a recognition that the ego calls arrogant, that you just happen to have that power within you. You happen to have the power to fully heal yourself and others. You happen to have the power to be brilliant. You happen to have the power to be and to do beautiful things. You happen to have the power, the unlimited creativity of God within you. This, the Course in Miracles says, is not an arrogant perception. It's a humble perception. Why is it, though, that some people find it so difficult to accept that. So they don't allow themselves to own all that is available to them. They don't have any less potential than anyone else. There was a girlfriend at my house who was a working actress. And there was another girlfriend who came over. Now, I've seen them both act. I've seen one of them act on TV, and she's very, very wonderful. But this other woman, I've seen her act, too, in her theater company, and she's also very, very wonderful. But when I introduced my girlfriend, who is, quote, you know, she works in theater groups and stuff, but she hasn't made it in Hollywood, to the friend who has made it in Hollywood, she apologized. I said, oh, she's an actress also. I said to the working actress, oh, hi, this is my girlfriend, Shirley. I said, she's an actress, too, because in my perception, she's an actress. I don't care how much money she makes or whether she's on television. She's an actress, and she's a good actress. But her response to the other girlfriend was, well, I mean, I'm an actress, but I'm not an actress like you. I'm an actress, but like, now you're laughing, but it hurt me. It's not that funny, because it's her statement to her subconscious. I've seen them both act. They're both, what's the difference? They're both gorgeous and they're both good actresses. It's something in the head going on there, and I can't really laugh about it. I mean, I hear you laughing. It is kind of funny, but when you think about it, it's not funny. Why should she be at this point in her life having to work odd jobs and do all that stuff to make a living and life be so hard for her? What's the difference? That she's not manifesting the success that the other person is, quote, living her potential. Well, the interesting thing is she is living her potential in terms of her art, I think. I've seen her. We all know that. There are many people. I mean, anybody who's, you know, seen artists perform knows that those who, quote, make it in the world are not necessarily, or let's say those who don't have it made in the world are not necessarily people who are not as good. There's some internal mechanism, some key that hasn't been turned, something that we have not accessed in ourselves. It has absolutely nothing to do with our talent, that has absolutely nothing to do with our power in the world, but has only to do with what permission we've given ourselves, not to think in terms of where we're going to be, but where we are right now. And I said that to my girlfriend, too. You know, it's funny because it's like embarrassing to be around talk like that when she said that, when she put herself down like that. Well, it couldn't have been pleasant for her. It wasn't pleasant for me, and it wasn't pleasant for the, quote, working actress. This didn't make her feel better. It only separates people. It only separates people for it to seem like anybody's a success, somebody's making it, and somebody's not. And the only difference is not that somebody's manifest their potential, but that somebody is giving themselves permission to be their potential. Not in the future, but in the present. In the present to say, I'm willing to have the chutzpah to know that I'm very okay. So that when I could introduce her and say, hi, you know, Shirley's an actress too, she could say, yes, I am. Hi. Right? Whatever it is. That there's not anything different. Because anybody who is ahead of us in any way is only ahead of us half a step. It's only in time. The time doesn't exist. It simply permitted itself. So in any area, for some of us it's in our work lives. For some of us it's our emotional lives, in relationships, the patterns, the ways we deal with other people, the way we are in relationships. For some of us it's even our health. It doesn't matter what it is. Know that since we all have, quote, infinite potential, we all have infinite capacity. It's not about getting there in the future, but about allowing it in the present. Allowing it. And from A Course in Miracles' perspective, it's all about remembering what is very difficult to remember in the world as we know it, and that's that God's will is that we be happy. I was having dinner with a friend the other night, and she, in terms of the world, quote, has it all. She has the great marriage and the great job and the great child and all the great, great stuff. You have it all. She said, yeah, I have it all. And what I got was that thing Buckminster Fuller said, that there we have the technological resources right now for everybody on this earth could live like a billionaire. And it's not just that we have the technological resources. Everybody could have everything on every level. There are infinite resources. No, anybody's success, because in fact my girlfriend and I were talking about her having it all. We were also talking about the people who take stabs at you when you start having, right? We were talking about the subject of the new sort of internal feminism, how we really have to look at how much women need to support other women, knowing that as we succeed in any area of our lives, we don't take success away from anyone else. Anybody who succeeds is opening up the space for other people to do it also. That's all that anybody who succeeds is doing. Anybody who succeeds is opening up that space so other people can succeed there. That's all that really happens. And anybody who is succeeding is liberating you to succeed also once you realize that nobody has anything that you don't have. And I was thinking and looking at her and thinking about her, and it's wonderful she is. I really love this woman. I think she's fabulous. But her life, she has allowed so much to be good for herself. And that's the only difference. She's a real smart woman, but I know a lot of real smart women. She's really great in her relationships, but I know a lot of people who are real great in her relationships. She's great at all the things she does, but so is everybody I know on some level or another. The difference is who lets it happen. And for us to really recognize, you know, it's almost difficult to conceive. It's so different from what the ego tells us, that that's God's will for everybody. And that's what heaven on earth is. And from A Course in Miracles' perspective, history will not be over. History will not be over until we get that, until we have heaven on earth, until everybody's in love with everybody all the time. A Course in Miracles says that this world is a bad dream, but we don't go from a bad dream to waking up. We go from a bad dream to a happy dream. And from a happy dream, we wake up. And in a happy dream, all of us allow ourselves to recognize that who we are is enough. Right here, right now. So whatever area I'd like you to call up in your own mind, the areas of your life where you know that you're like the racehorse, and it's all pent up, and you just don't release it. You don't do it like you know you have it in you to do it. You just don't. What is that feeling? We all know that feeling. That in this area, I know I could be more. I know I could do it better. I know I have it in me, but I just can't get out. I don't allow myself. And all roads lead to Jesus, whether you call him Jesus or not. All roads lead to the Messiah. All roads lead to the notion, all roads of personal growth, lead to the notion of a Savior or a Messiah, whatever words we use, to the notion that there is some higher power, some gracious alchemical action which we are all capable of, which can do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And the Messiah, Jesus, whatever we want to think of him or it, is he or it who comes to that gate and opens it for us. And we just sit there. I remember once when I did a lecture, and I think it was in Seattle, and some woman stood up in the midst of my talk and she said, "Who gives you the authority to say these things?" Well, not my mother, obviously. But I said to her, "I have a heart and I have a brain and I was born. What other authority do you need? What other authority do we need? This is just the way I see things." And all of us have the area where it's just the way we see things. Now, can I allow myself this sort of spontaneous, you know, this is how I am about it in every area of my life? No. Mm-mm. I mean, I remember sometimes somebody said to me, I just can't believe. I would just be terrified at the thought of speaking to 1,000 people. I said, I know what you mean. I'm terrified at the thought of speaking to one many times. Right? Speaking to one person can terrify me. We all have those areas where we're blocked. Whatever the areas where there's somebody who scares us, or something that scares us. And all that life is about relinquishing our fears by accepting the notion that all we need is a miracle. So let's call to mind those areas where we know we need a breakthrough. And let's stop thinking in terms of how we're going to keep getting it better until we get it right. And let's accept instead the notion that we already have the capacity. We might not be, like I said, you know, the virtuoso at a particular thing, but we are already a virtuoso if we choose to be. It's just being where we are and letting it out. And that's where we feel bound and enslaved and enchained, not by something outside of us, but by something inside of us. We know that we are held in an internal bondage and an internal oppression. And when the Jews celebrate Passover, we celebrate that God enters into history and saves his people from the historical circumstances which enslave them. The Christian dispensation, which grows out of the Jewish worldview and takes that next step forward, is the revelation that God not only delivers his people from their historical external bondage, but God also delivers his people from internal personal bondage. And for that we pray. Dear God, each of us have areas of our lives where we feel that we can't move forward. We can't say it the way we really feel it or think it. We can't allow ourselves to be. We feel how we hold ourselves back. We feel how we sabotage ourselves and thwart our own efforts. And as each of us call to mind the circumstances or the relationships or whatever which reflect this, we now invite the Holy Spirit to enter here. We ask that he do for us what we cannot do for ourselves, in order that we might be the people of freedom and happiness that he would have us be. And we recognize that it is only the areas where we do not allow him to enter, only the areas where we have been trusting in our own strength, that we have been bound. The Course tells us that when we are trusting in our own strength, we have every reason to be anxious, doubtful, and afraid. And so we see that gate which is standing in front of the pent-up racehorse. We know that that horse is us, and now we witness as Jesus, or whatever form the Holy Spirit takes for us, now opens that door and releases us. And we recognize that now we settle in to ourselves. Dear God, give us the strength and power to be the men and women that you would have us be. Help us to accept ourselves as we are so profoundly, to forgive our past, to forgive our future, to forgive ourselves, and now accept ourselves as you created us, knowing that this is not arrogant but humble, to know we're okay people, just as we are, and there's nothing we have ever done to modify our perfection in your eyes. Help us to forgive ourselves, knowing that you have never condemned us, but how we have condemned ourselves. Let us in this moment begin again, as we invite the Holy Spirit to enter into us more deeply, more powerfully than ever before. May your gracious action heal us and make us whole. May our joined minds here tonight call down into the earth for ourselves and for all mankind a deep relief, a greater love, a clearer mind, a more open heart. May this shift us and help to shift the world in which we live. Let us in this moment be changed from a feeling of weakness to a feeling of strength, from a feeling of fear to a feeling of love, from a feeling of negative powerlessness to gracious power through God who is within us. We now forgive ourselves, release ourselves, past, future, and present. Thank you very much. Together, we all say, amen. Thank you very much.